One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we have Sue and Mel from Snuggly Bags by Ellie.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Again, we are not together.
There is sickness a-go-go. We can't catch a break in this house, but it's okay. And I didn't want to infect you.
No.
If, you know, something's brewing. But anyway, it's yes, okay.
It's okay. It's fine. COVID yep. taught us that Zoom was a friend.
Oh, it really did. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And for those of you following along at home who love our weather chat, it's a glorious day in Melbourne.
Yes, I've been out to get some sun on my face.
Yeah.
I said, come and put your sun in the face, your face in the sun.
Get some vitamin D.
Yeah, I was like, come on, just stare at it. We have to when you're in Melbourne, because in 2 days' time.
It's going to be 15.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's beautiful.
Mm, it is. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We love it.
We have a gorgeous mother-in-law and daughter-in-law mega team here today. So would you both like to say hello and introduce yourselves?
My name's Sue. I'm Mel's mother-in-law and I'm our beautiful Ellie's grandmother. And that's Ellie's how Snuggly Bags came about, making sleeping bags for her when she was little and when she outgrew them, the ones we could buy, I was making them for her.
So incredible.
That's how the whole thing started.
Oh, amazing. What about your daughter-in-law? What's your name?
So my name's Mel and I'm a very, very lucky daughter-in-law to have such an amazing and talented mother-in-law who, has just been amazing in supporting our family and Ellie, and obviously using her talents to, I suppose, help support us. But then, you know, that sort of then grew in realizing that there were other children, I suppose, similar to Ellie, or families, you know, looking for larger size sleeping bags. So I'm very grateful and thankful that I have a very talented mother-in-law.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, well, it's the power of love, actually. Like, I can do this. I love her more than anything. I will step in and make something. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to start with our three questions, which is how we start every episode. So our first question, and I'll start with you, Sue. Do you have a favourite song or band or music that you listen to in the good times or the bad times when you want to feel happier?
Well, this has been a really hard question for me because, no, not really.
That's okay.
I'm a product of music from the 60s, 70s, so pretty much all of it. The only song I will say I do like to listen to in good times and bad is Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Iz, the Hawaiian singer. And he's just, he was a very, very big man and he didn't last very long. Grossly overweight and died quite young, but his music is beautiful.
Yeah.
We will put that on the Spotify.
Yeah. He's Israel and it's a big name, big Hawaiian name starting with a K, but they just called him Iz.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll find it. And Mel?
I too struggled with this question. I don't feel like I have a particular song, but I am a 80s girl through and through. Born 80. So my go-to is I love 80s music. Even when I turned 40, most of my music there was 80s tunes. So I think they're a surefire way to get anyone happy or anyone on the dance floor.
Oh, definitely. And just hit 80s mix on Spotify and then you're set for
Everything's
hours.
A winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So our next question is, did you win any awards at school, Sue? Can you remember?
It was a long time ago, but no, I was not an award-winning student in any way, shape or form. Making me think about this, the only award that I can remember winning was in another time I taught porcelain art. China painting, and I had an entry in the Bright Autumn Art Show, and I won People's Choice.
Ah,
wow.
Yeah, that's as close as I've got, but I was an adult. I did not do any good at school. I was a pretty average student.
Bright as in Victoria?
Yep.
Autumn, and you won the award. Like, that's their mega time of the year.
Yeah. Really, yeah. So that was nice.
Oh.
Yes, that sounds beautiful. We can see you're a creative person. If the peas could see her house.
It's beautiful.
Just gorgeous.
Thank you.
What about you, Mel? Did you win any awards in the 80s?
No official awards, but if there was ever any unofficial awards, I won the award very, very regularly year after year at school that I was at school to socialise and I talked too much. It's a very unofficial award that I sort of had that title every year, year in, year out.
Yep, you're in a safe place here.
Same. Yeah, we see you.
Yeah.
Well, perfect person for a podcast, hey?
Perfect.
I don't know if I did my parents proud with that one, but
they are, but who cares?
Well, I think of all the things that I've learnt at school, and of course lots were really valuable, but the art of communication has probably helped me the most, so I'm going to say very valuable.
Excellent. Thank you.
I concur with your awards. And our favourite question, Sue, why are you a P? You're part of the P community.
Because of my granddaughter, Mel's daughter, my son's daughter.
Mm.
Her name is Ellie, and that's how we named Snuggly Bags by Ellie, because they were all developed because and for her. So we put her in the name.
Yeah.
And she's just awesome. She's Mel will tell you more of the detail, but as far as I'm concerned, with all she has to deal with, she's always happy and smiling, and she's taught me what life is really all about.
Yes.
Now I'm going to make myself cry.
Yeah,
all the grandmas and nanas will be just singing your praises, right?
Yeah.
Tell us, Mel, tell us more about gorgeous Ellie.
As Ellie is, she is like a bright and shining light. Our world was flipped upside down, I think, when Ellie was born, but we only really allowed it to flip it upside down in a bad way, I suppose, for a short period of time. We just sort of, I don't know, got on with it. And, you know, Sue's son, Luke, who's my husband, is just amazing. And I think we are an amazing team. And I don't know, we just sort of tried to find the good in what it was, which I think has really sort of helped us, you know, be who we are today, and I suppose help Ellie shape Ellie into the person she is, but she is just such a happy, social, fun-loving, like she doesn't get down, she doesn't get upset, she draws people in. I go to the supermarket and, you know, she just draws people in. You know, she's got her challenges, but, like, definitely 100%, it does not stop her. Ellie, it's, if there's a way for her to try something, she will give it a go.
Can you tell us a little bit about what her diagnosis was?
Yep.
When did you receive that?
So we knew when Ellie was born that, I suppose, there was something a little bit different. She was very, very tiny. She had a cleft lip and a cleft palate, and she's also got a rare condition called anophthalmos. So she was born without her right eye. So she's got the eye socket but no eyeball as such. Yeah. So it was quite clear very early on, but we didn't get Ellie's diagnosis till she was one. Uh-huh. So we went through the process of genetic testing, which just takes time. So Ellie was diagnosed just before her first birthday with a rare genetic condition called Wolff-Hirschhorn syndrome. So it's around 1 in 50,000 births.
Wow.
And it's really varied as to how it can affect a child. So for Ellie, Ellie's nonverbal. She has two words, which is hi and yeah, and she uses them very appropriately. But she's very receptive. Her understanding, and it's people sort of say to Sue and I, how do you communicate? And I always say, just spend some time with her. For a kid that's non-verbal, she still is able to get her message across, whether it's using her hands or, you know, grabbing you and dragging you to the fridge. Yes. And telling you she wants her food. So her level of understanding is amazing. She's slightly immobile. For most of her life, she's been very immobile. And I say slightly because she sort of is a mixture between a wheelchair, a walker, and sort of walking independently in a safe space. So at home, or at school where she's familiar and we have it set up for her mobility needs, she can take independent steps, but she really has no safety awareness at all. And I suppose that I think one of the hardest things was when Ellie was so little. I think Ellie's first 6 years of her life were very much marked with seizures, and that brutal seizures from about one to about six. Like, we were just constantly in and out of hospital, but that, I suppose, the good thing is they're very much under control now. She's on medication, so that's sort of a side that doesn't really impact us anymore. She has her daily medication and, you know, things are under control.
And so how old is Ellie now?
15. Yep, so turned 15 in August. And she's a real mini me. She's a mini version of me. Even my son says, Mum, when you cut Ellie's hair, I cut her hair. He goes, you just cut it like yours. And she's very obsessed with me. Like, she's beautiful.
Yeah. And
I have a daughter obsessed with me too. And I tell you, it's pretty. Some of my friends yearn for it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Lovely.
And is your son older or younger than Ellie?
He's younger, so he's 11.
Right.
Yeah. And he's amazing with her. I suppose, and I've said this all the time, I think if Cooper was my first child and Ellie was my second child, I think that would have impacted us differently, because we would have known or experienced, a typical, you know, childhood. But I think because Ellie was our first, Cooper came along and I was like, oh, this is a breeze. This is how it's meant to go. This is normality. But he's amazing. But then he's sort of grown up in that world. We've never shied away from disability. We've never become reclusive. We've always sort of put ourselves out there, put Ellie out there. You know, we've done a lot of fundraising and stuff, and, you know, the different organisations, even bringing Cooper to Ellie's assemblies. You know, when he was really, really young, I would take him in, and he was really quite scared initially because, you know, there's some big boys in there making grunting and loud noises. But now he just sort of rolls with it. Like, he's just, it's just part of his life. And I think that's a real positive for him to grow up, and just for that to be, you know, for disability to be normal for him.
Yeah, it's an incredible gift. And Sue, when your little grandbaby was born, what was that like for you as a grandma watching your son go through all the diagnosis? And
It wasn't easy. Mm. My husband and I were living in New South Wales then. We are Victorians, but we've moved to New South Wales. And Lucas rang and told us, and he this might sound awful, but he said, she's only got one eye, and I could not get my head around that. I said, what do you mean? Mm. I just couldn't understand that. So we just got on the first plane we could, and we were in Melbourne with them. Mm. They had a few difficult days with some bad medical people.
Yep, I'm sure.
And I will say, Mel saying, when Ellie was a baby, taking her out, people were awful. I can't think of another word. They were horrible. Mm. Kids pointing at her because she only had one eye and, you know, just I don't get it. But even recently, we went to the kids' day out for the children's hospital at, what is it, the entertainment centre or something, whatever it's called anyway. At,
yes, I can't remember.
I can't think what it's called.
Jeff Shed, I think.
Yeah.
It used to be Jeff Shed. And we got out of the car. Ellie's in her wheelchair. Mel's waiting to go in. And this child pointed to Ellie and said to her mum, why is that girl like that?
Mm.
And the mother turned around and said, well, she probably hasn't got a very good mother.
She did not.
I was horrified. Mel told me after, if I'd have been in earshot when it happened, but people can be horrendous.
I think the line went something like, you know, maybe her mum did something wrong. And I'm not.
I might have exaggerated.
I'm not backwards in coming forwards. I'm always happy to educate people about Ellie, you know, teach people, explain. But I think even I was my jaw was, you know. So, yeah, I think those early years, as Sue said, was very hard. And I think the general public have come a long way in their openness and acceptance.
Mm.
However, I do still believe there's a long way to go.
Mm.
Around sort of, and I don't, just around, I suppose, acceptance and openness, you know, to people that are different in any way, shape or form, whether that be disability or race or, I just think,
Yeah, I think, I mean, we say it all the time, but it's being able to see it in your everyday life, right? And so if there's no disability on TV and there's no disability on podcasts and there's no disability on the radio and YouTube, then people don't know what it is. So, yeah, I think it's just about visibility.
Absolutely.
And educating too, I think.
Yeah.
So do your friends have children with grandchildren with a disability?
I have a neighbour who has a grandson in Western Australia who is 9 and just been diagnosed. I don't know what it's called, but there's only 50 people with it in the world.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
She's the only one, and we do get to talk a lot because we both understand what it's like.
I feel like it's quite silent for the grandmas and nanas.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
But all I can do is look at. I call him Lucas. He was named Lucas. Everybody now calls him Luke. But I look at my son, Lucas, and Mel, and I just admire everything they do. They are just such fantastic parents. And they're an absolute, they're just not, I don't think they knew how to handle it, but they have learned and they do it so well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the times people say, oh, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. And I think that I just sort of think, I didn't have a choice.
I know.
I don't have a choice to opt out. I don't get to look at Ellie and go, that's not what I signed up for.
No.
Do you know? It's probably not what we sort of, you know, thought we were going to get. But at the end of the day, you know, you do the best with what you've got. And as you said, she has taught us so much.
Mm.
You know, you just you deal with the life you've got and you move on, and she's given us an amazing life and we're giving her an amazing life.
I wish that phrase could be removed from the vernacular, and we just, like, anything that you're going through, if someone says to you, well, I couldn't do that, you're like, oh, it's just such an isolating comment to make, even if it's, oh, I don't have enough money or I've, don't say that. Just yeah, think of think, another thing to say.
I think sometimes people think as a positive going,
I know.
They're putting you up here, yes. But I couldn't be, but you don't view yourself up there.
No.
You just go, I'm just you, I've got a child, it's a bit different, and I'm just gonna roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you got the diagnosis of the name Wolf Hirsch Sean, what did you do? How did you find people? Did you find people?
I Googled a lot, and that was probably one of my mistakes. There's a lot of negative information around there. You know, it's very outdated online about what the kids can't do. It was very, they won't walk, they won't talk. You know, it'll be a very early. So I sort of moved away from that. You know, I think the world of social media is amazing. And it did allow me to get connected with a lot of families in Australia as well as overseas. And back then, blogging was a big thing. Blogging was huge. So I started blogging when Ella was young, and I actually forgot I used to do that. And it was my way initially of, I come from a very large family on my side. And I used to struggle when we would go to events or family things, and it was all, everyone was like, and how's Ellie? What's she up to? What's it? And it was all well intended, but I was like, how do I tell all these people so then I'm not spending my whole time talking about that, and then I can just be me? And, you know, so I started blogging just little sort of updates, but then I think it was a bit therapeutic as well. Like I just do brain dumps about, you know, Ellie and what she was up to, and I suppose what we were doing as a family, and that connected me with sort of other families in America, other families in Australia. There's an amazing group of families in Australia that we've met a couple of times. There's been conferences that we've gone to, and it's nice. It's nice to see those other families and what they're doing and see their children.
And I will say, Mel, it was before NDIS when Ellie was little, and Mel started a charity to fundraise to help families get some of the equipment that they needed that was expensive. So she did an amazing job. That was for about 5 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think for about 5 or 6 years. We were a very, very small group of family and friends who had no idea about a charity, but we thought, how hard can it be?
Very.
It was hard, but, you know, I think the hardest thing was just getting it set up as a proper tax deductible recognised. So we did that and we persevered. And then it was, you know, it was me, it was Sue, it was my husband Luke, it was, you know, my cousin, my mum, just normal people, you know, with a goal to sort of, I suppose, support kids like Ellie. And it actually came up on my Facebook memories the other day. I think it was our first or our second fundraiser. And I sort of shared it to Facebook saying, you know, what happy times they were. I think we did about 5 fundraisers. And over that period of time that we were able to give out up to, I think it was about $100,000 in grants. Wow. And that was for, so this was pre-NDIS, as we said, so that was for therapy. It was for, you know, people that didn't have a hospital, you know, health insurance, so it was to cover hospital gaps, air conditioners for families that had, you know, children with seizures that were affected by heat, anything that that family said our child needs, this is not in the scope of the normal, you know, medical world or Medicare or something, you know, we were able to, I suppose, jump in and go, yes, we can help. And we never had to say no to any family. Like it was, look, it was a lot of hard work, but I think, and Sue will agree, on those nights, just to see what we were able to achieve as you know, everyday people that still work jobs and just like decided we'd start a charity on the side and see how we go. You know, I think we as a team should all pat ourselves on the back. It was so successful. And then obviously NDIS came into play and we've sort of stepped back and, you know, but it's nice to see now that, you know, those families are consistently supported and they don't as such need us anymore.
Yeah, better. And also, don't you think that when you get involved in something like that, you get this absolute joy of seeing the good in people and you're like, people are good and people want to be involved and people want to help out. And, yeah, I think that that is a real benefit of families that are tricky or different or whatever you want to call it, is that you just get to see how much good there is in the world.
Yeah, and I think we do that a lot. There's a lot of organisations that we sort of, you know, put our hand up or jump into to fundraise, and they've always got like a connection to disability or, you know, our world. And but even like my youngest Cooper is involved with it as well. And I think it's just nice to sort of grow up and be part of that. And actually, you don't do it for any recognition. You just you feel like you've made just that little that little bit of difference.
Yeah. So why did you start making sleeping bags?
Okay. Ellie is a very mobile sleeper, and I was in the clothing industry, and I had a contact to get her beautiful sleeping bags from a company that what used to be in Australia. They've closed down, and so she had these gorgeous sleeping bags until they only made them up to a size 4. Mm-hmm. So when she outgrew them, Ellie had no idea about staying under blankets, so I started making them. My mum was a dress designer and, you know, I had got the family history to be able to do that. So, and we kept saying, oh, you know, there'd be other kids that would need these, but didn't do anything about it. And then beginning of 2020.
Oh, what a year.
I had some contacts. I was going to get on a plane and go to China and see what we could get sampled and get something made up. And because, as we all know, COVID hit and nobody was going anywhere. And I happened to find, I think it was through a company in Sydney, that there's a woman in Melbourne who has a business called Manufacture My Product, and she can get virtually anything made up. So I sent her drawings and patterns of what I wanted, and she said, oh, there's a place in China, they do a lot of organic and pure cotton, and that was the sort of thing we were wanting. So they made up samples for us, and it's just gone from there.
Amazing.
So now we've got the summer bag, we've got two different weights in the full sleeping bag, and we've got a leg suit. So
awesome.
I've actually had to walk away from our warehouse, which is my garage, to I had a delivery this morning of 12 boxes of sleeping bags. So I'm out in the garage trying to sort them out. So it was nice to have a break. I'm having a call.
So because podcasting is not a visual medium, are they similar to a grow bag? Like that's what my little boys used to sleep in, the twins, like it had like a zip up the front and
got
the
a zip
arms
up
were
the
out.
Front.
Was it similar to
and
that?
Got, no, this has got, ours have got sleeves.
Right.
And a zip up the front. They're pure cotton outer and lining, and then the wadding is polyester, but the cotton is against the skin. So the cotton, the summer one is sleeveless, and it's woven cotton. It's not knitted, so it's like having a sheet over you.
Yeah, lovely.
And again, this has been developed from what Mel and Ellie found worked for them. So they're long and they're wide, so they've got plenty of leg room. No one wants to be tight in a, you know, not be able to move your legs around. You want to be able to spread out. So,
also for some children, maybe even like my daughters with spasticity, trying to get arms in and out of things, like, yeah, to have that extra bit of room.
So the first one I sold was we went and did Source Kids at Sydney.
Awesome.
And this gorgeous man He was with his son, who was probably about 8 or 10, and he tried one on in the middle of the expo, and he decided that was the right size and all that, and he bought it. And he messaged me the next day to tell me he'd had his first full night's sleep in however many years, because his son didn't stay under blankets and he was up and down all night covering him because he'd cry because he'd get cold. So that was the beginning of knowing that this is something that's really needed and appreciated by the people who are using them.
Mm.
So, yep, they're really good.
So that first source kids you did, how many did you have there? Like, how did you set it all? I've done a few of those with my sleep sprays. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Well, I'm in Newcastle, so I could drive to Sydney. So the car was loaded up with, I think we took about 20.
Mm.
And we sold more than half of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and did you have a website, and did you have all
we've
that?
We've got a website, we've got social media. It's snugglybags.com.au. And they're all lined up there. Any want, they can be claimed as a consumable with NDIS.
Terrific.
So
if people, you can do it one of two ways. You can either buy them, we give you an invoice that you can send to your plan manager and get refunded, or we can give you an invoice, your plan manager can get us paid, and then we send you the sleeping bags. Perfect. We also have a lovely seamstress who puts the slot in for feeding tubes if that's needed.
Perfect.
Yeah, so lots of kids, you know, have the feeding going all night, so she just puts a little slot into the bag so that they can have their dinner while they're sleeping. Sounds good to me.
Mel, there's a video on your Instagram of you getting Ellie into the sleeping bag and she's saying thank you, signing. Oh, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I vividly remember that day. Ellie's very engaging. She just has so much love to give. You can't set sort of that sort of stuff up. And can you get a video, you know, just putting Ellie in her bag and putting her in bed? So I said, yep. So, you know, but then she starts, you know, thank you, kiss. she has just got a lot of love to give and a lot of love to communicate. She just loves, and I've always said, she just loves her own. Like she's very family orientated. Ellie loves her own, yeah.
So when she gets into that sleeping bag, that's part of her sleep wind down and everything. She's got a magnificent bed. Can you tell us about her bed?
Her bed is amazing. And, again, it's another thing that we're so massively thankful for. So Ellie, when she got the bed, so her bed's, I suppose the best way to describe it is like a very large cot. Like it's a king single cot with high sides. The reason we got that was because back when we got it, and even still now Ellie needs it, she's not overly safely mobile.
Mm.
Yes.
And our fear was, you know, in a bed, she'd fall out on a mattress on the floor. She knows how to open the door. There's just so much risks involved. So Ellie loves her bed. Ellie loves her sleeping bags. You know, she knows that's her routine. You know, you put that on, it's time to go to bed. One of the things, I think it was earlier this year, Ellie was in hospital, she was unwell, and she hadn't been in hospital for some time, and she likes to sleep in her own room, dark, in her bed. She's quite rigid with her routine, and I thought, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. Like, how is she going to sleep? And I rearranged the room to set it up so if Ellie fell out, she was going to fall on me on the bed. So at least she was going to be safe, I was going to be injured. So how is she going to sleep? But it was just amazing. Like, and I would say to her, you know, and she's got a glowworm as well. So I would, you know, put her in her sleeping bag, you know, and she would lie down immediately. She'd press the tummy of her glowworm to play her music. And I thought, cross my fingers and thought, hope for the best, please let her fall asleep. But I think it was just having that part of her routine, her sleeping bag and her glowworm there, literally stood out, you know, the hospital door, kept poking in the curtains until she was out for the night. But I honestly think if she didn't have that as part of her routine and just, you know, under a sheet, that just doesn't work for her. So it was just amazing to see how well she just slept there. It's very much part of her routine.
think just the smells from home. I always take my own sheets. I take my own, all the sleeping stuff to hospital, but just all the, because it's so sterile. So just bring something that has some scent from home is very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how many have you sold? Do you know?
No, not exactly.
You're not on Shark Tank.
No, it's not Shark Tank.
What are your margins? What are you
we'd be at close. We'd be around the 300.
Oh, amazing! Awesome.
Yeah. So look, it's going. It's building up. I've got a little client base creating in Canada, and you know, because once one person gets them and realizes, then that go it ricochets along. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
we've sent quite a few to Canada.
Brilliant.
And we do have a .com website as well, but. Yep. That's not relevant to Australia, but there is a .com and a .com.au. So, so we do from where the everybody else stops at a 4, we go from a 4 to a 16.
Brilliant.
And they're big, they're roomy. So we cover a pretty wide range of bods in, with that. So we'd like to somehow give away a sleeping bag if we can, of someone's a winner's choice. Never say it has to be a particular one, whatever works for them. But we're thinking maybe that if we put it on the link for this onto our Instagram and perhaps get people to like and share somehow, and we'll select someone as a winner.
We can say we will definitely put it in the in the Instagram the day the episode comes out.
Okay, awesome.
And we will share everything because our community loves following pea businesses more than anything. And we love promoting people like you guys because
it's amazing how many and I listen to you guys a lot and I know Sarah with the tube feeding and because of doing Source Kids you get to meet lots of people and the businesses that have started because families are in a situation just incredible
much most of them and then and actually for me as someone who's going to purchase from them I am more inclined to than some random business that doesn't have a heart story behind it
I think we all like to support
Definitely.
What are your hopes and dreams for the business? Say them out loud.
Well, just to grow it, really. I'm not a young person anymore. And I'd like to be able to leave a really good operating business for my kids to take over. Luke's got a sister and I, you know, between them, I'd like, and it is growing into a really nice little business. I'd like to be able to hand it over and me not do much. Get out of my warehouse.
You'll sit by that lake.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Somewhere in that warehouse is a kayak that I bought that I've used twice.
It's covered in sleeping bag boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
What a legacy, though.
I like to think so. I think it's something that it's grown because of our family.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it continue to grow.
What about you, Mel? What's your hopes and dreams?
Same. I just think to see it grow, but I also think just to see so many more families helped. I think one of the, and I've done quite a few of the Source Kids as well, and I've said this to Sue before, when you're there with your stand and you've got the sleeping bags and you've got, you know, the banner and, you know, they can see Ellie in the sleep and you can spot the people a mile away and you can see that, you know, they're dragging their husband. They're going, look, this is what we've been, this is what we need. Yeah. So I think just sort of connecting with more of those people, because those people walk up and go, my child is in a size 4, is in a size 6, or my mother-in-law has been making them and they're terrible. Like, you know, you are what we need. So just connecting with more of those people, because I know how much it has changed our life. Like it just, Ellie sleeps well. And for us it was a big safety thing. Ellie, I don't think, would have that awareness to take a doona off her head. She moved so much. So it was really a safety factor around putting her in a sleeping bag. So just connecting with more people and I suppose sharing the product that just works so well.
Oh, so thoughtfully designed.
And you can do anything if you can get some sleep.
Absolutely.
So
it's absolutely critical if you've got problems in any way, whether it's kids or anything else. If you get a night's sleep, you can manage.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anything we can do to help our amazing community sleep better is a huge bonus.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is there anything we've missed that you would love to tell our world of listeners? And there is the world, people listening all around the world.
Not really for me. I think we've covered everything other than probably we are on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, so we'll put.
And we have the website.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll put all of those links in the show notes and then we will tag you on Insta and then everybody can find everybody.
Yeah. So for people who don't know where the show notes are, when you're in your podcast app, you just scroll up. And when you're pressing play, you scroll up and all the show notes are there. My sister writes them all. Annalise, she does a great job. So everything will be there. Yeah, it's not us writing them. Heaven
don't
forbid.
Worry. No, because you can tell the snap peas have nothing now, not a thing. It's only show notes on Thursdays.
Mel, is there anything you would like to tell the world about Ellie or your family or anything else that we've missed today?
I don't think so. I think you guys have asked amazing questions that's touched on, I suppose, our journey and how we got to where we are today with it. Perfect.
Great. Good.
I'm glad.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank
you. And I just can't wait for your numbers to explode on your social media. I love watching that.
We're looking forward to it.
So keep going. You are doing such amazing work, changing the world, and I'm proud of you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.